CNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors.
For now.
Oh, no. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Maybe soon it's going to be old man Alec Medford. I don't know what that's in reference to. Gentlemen, welcome to the program, 877-881-1053. How the heck is everybody out there in Radio Land doing on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube? Let us know how we're doing today.
You know, Kevin, again, I don't know how I have to explain this to people. We are the competition.
Oh.
In the midday spot, we are the dominator.
Okay.
You know, also I would like to point out, when we were a weekend show, highest ratings on the weekend ever.
Oh, sweet.
We dominated then. When we became the night show, number one night show in DFW.
Oh.
We became the day show, number one show in DFW. I don't know exactly like what competition we have to topple for people to be like, damn, they're inevitable. They're the ones that will show up and take us down. But here we are, and thank you, the Tolos, for being the ones that make that happen. Every single day we show up on radio, and our Tolos are there saying, let's party, baby, because that's what we're here for. We're here to have a good time, talk about some damn good sports, and hope that our damn teams can sign some players so we can win some football and baseball and hockey and basketball games at FC Dallas. So, guys, thank you very much for tuning in, whether you love us or hate us.
Yeah, and I just want to say for the record, if you don't like us, I'm okay with that as long as you gave it a shot. To each their own. I got no beef with that. Alec, what can you say to cheer Corey up today? People
I'm
are concerned.
I'm doing great, actually.
There's a lot of great stuff to talk about today, including, I think, you made a smart signing yesterday. I'm not talking about the nose tackle.
Sam
He's
Howell.
Not going to play very much. Sam Howell's a good-looking dude. You know, maybe that there's something to that. But other than that, his helmet's not going to be on very often. So that's going to have a lot going for him. You know, maybe he'll get some brand deals or something.
We did ask, though. We did ask to add a quarterback, you know, because we just are in a situation where we don't trust our Joe yet. But that's not necessarily the one that I was like, hey, let's go get that guy. But they did add another quarterback, so they did what we asked. That's all I'll give them on that right now.
Okay.
And, you know, at one point, Ron Rivera thought that that dude was very, very good.
That is true, especially when he played against us. Now, there's a lot of stuff happening right now, and it kind of boggles the mind. I want to know if you want to just jump right in to your conspiracy theory, or maybe if you don't think it's a conspiracy theory, do you believe that the Trey Hendrickson price came down so much and he ended up getting, it looks like, 4 years, $28 million per, with incentives could go up to $30 million per? Do you think that the Ravens continue to talk? They found out how low that price had been, and they're like, wow, that's equivalent, if not a little bit lower than Max Crosby would be. And don't fool yourself with Max Crosby is going to cost $7 million. That's after you flip the switches. You can do the exact same thing with Trey Hendrickson. So it was going to be $30 million per year that you were going to take on with Max Crosby. Do you think they did that? And they were like, hey, we can get that for no draft capital instead of what we already did. And the league year is not official until 3 o'clock today. Let's go ahead and back out and say it was the medicals and hopefully nobody will call our BS.
So on Friday, they had the backup GM or decision maker guy in Baltimore because that other guy was out for like a kid's birthday party.
Right.
This is going along with your theory here, Kevin. The other guy comes back in on Monday and he's like, guys, why did we lose all this money and all this draft capital? And now he's like, hold on. So is there a way out? So I can get my two picks back. I can get my $30 million back and I can still add a defensive end. Let's go ahead and make that move.
You're
telling me that they can have those two picks back, pay less price for that guy than they were paying for the other guy, and still lose Linderbaum. That's a significant thing in this whole thing. Is I don't think they thought they were going to lose him.
Sure.
For that amount of money, and then they were like, "Oh crap!" So they lost him for sure. Kevin,
And by the way, the Raiders have said they're going to honor all of their free agent agreements.
And which you should say that right now, too. And you should also say that you're honoring and keeping Max Crosby and that you can't wait for him to be part of this new team that you're building right now because he's going to be a great leader for you. Because if you do want to trade him still, you need people to believe that you want him, not that you don't want him. If you throw out garbage, people are going to be like, that's free garbage right there. But if you throw out, if you're like, hold on, I'm going to hold on to this thing and sell it in a garage sale, people will pay for it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I don't, you can convince me to buy in on this Trey Hendrickson theory. Like, okay. It's absolutely believable. I'm always a sucker for a good conspiracy theory. I love them. The grassy knolls, as the great Randy Galloway used to call them. I love those things. But at the same point, I see the appeal of Hendrickson for the Cowboys at $25 million, and that was it for me.
Right.
And maybe 2 years for 30. They got a pretty good deal. He got a good deal for himself with Baltimore and a place where he wants to play. So this is a fascinating turn of events that we actually mentioned yesterday, Kevin, or 2 days ago. You aren't going to see a DeAndre Jordan situation happen, yet here we are. We just saw it happen. A team backed out of a deal and moved on. I didn't expect that kind of drama today.
Look, and yes, I have seen all the people that wished you could go back in time and fail the Anthony Davis physical so you could avoid it out that Luka trade. I'm very sorry that we couldn't do that. And I feel like I've been defending the Cowboys in this free agent pattern for the first time in a while. Usually what they do, nothing, or even try, is really agitating. I feel like they've tried. Have they gotten all of their targets? Obviously they had not. And in fact, what I was really hoping would come out of all of this is the Raiders were allowed to void their contracts and both of their linebackers went back out on the market so we could pick up an off-the-ball linebacker prior to the draft. But that is not going to be the case. But I would love to know, and I realize for HIPAA and probably league reasons, you're not going to hear too much of the actual story about the medicals. I know we've heard some stories, but I don't know how much stock to put in any of that. Is I hate the idea that even if there was nothing really on the medical beyond like, hey, we think in 3 years he might not be that great. Well, guess what? If you've been listening to the show, we kind of already told you that would be the case. And I hate the idea that the Cowboys are like, no, we got Gary, so we've moved on. Those two can do completely different things if you want them to. And I think you have the money to still make a go for it. Now, if the medicals really are crap, then I get it. But I don't know if I believe that.
What?
That the medicals are crap.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think that's what the Cowboys are saying, or at least like that's what they're passing to the reporters so they don't have to try to remake this move.
Yeah. No, well,
I don't like that.
As far as remake the move, you'd be foolish not to have the conversation.
I agree.
That would be absolutely foolish.
Are you worried a little bit they're not?
To start sending flowers and Valentines would be stupid also. To be like, guys, we can't wait to get into this conversation again. We're so excited right now. That would be foolish as well. Kevin, you know how this works. You want to make your old girlfriend jealous.
Mm.
You act like the new girlfriend's fantastic and makes you happy. Mm. Rashawn Gary is not necessarily what I would be like promoting out there.
Right.
And you kind of do wish that they would have gotten something else, that they would have gotten N'Kobe Dean, and then they'd be like, hey,
yes,
we're looking at these fronts really excited right now. But there's no way I'm jumping to the front of the line to try and pay full price like I did last time. Because they're going to be like, oh, no, everything's good. Yeah, let's go ahead and make the same deal that we had before.
Okay, see,
and I'm not doing that.
And I think that is why I would jump to the front of the line, is because if they try to say we still want the same price, you can just laugh in their face and be like, well, come back to me when you're serious.
Okay.
But I would still want to be the first person in line to be like, so you'll take a 2027 second now, right? And just to see, because maybe they will. I know there's also rumblings going around as the Raiders were always happy to keep
Max
Crosby.
But I'm also telling everybody publicly that I'm not interested.
I get that. And
I'm
look,
making that phone call quietly.
And that's the tough part about this, right?
Hey, girl, what you up to?
How much... we should have that as a drop file. I hope I didn't talk over that. Is how much do you believe of what gets said publicly or what gets leaked to reporters? And that's one of the things. And this has nothing to do with any specific reporter, but it always goes back to what Frank Provenzano would say as when he was the assistant GM him with the Stars. He goes, you know who you can leak stuff to make sure it gets out into the public. And so perhaps that is part of what the Cowboys are doing strategy-wise, if you will, out in public. But behind the scenes, they're making sure the right people know, hey, we're still interested. I don't know
the answer to that. You're saying Jane's that reporter?
I am Diana not Russi saying is that. Reporter? I am not saying that whatsoever. There are a lot of other reporters who've said that as well. And I always think that every team's got a couple of reporters that they know will do their bidding.
Or that they not necessarily do their bidding, but I'm going to give you information. You're going to report it as if it is true.
Oh, I mean do their bidding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think it's Jane.
I think Jane reports the news as if it's true.
I probably
won't. And I will always think that.
I probably won't list the people who I actually think it is right now, but.
Because I think Jane's one of those people that if she hears something from somebody, she will go check with somebody else.
Sure, exactly.
And be like, hold on. Let me make sure this lines up.
Which is what you should do.
Before I go ahead and say, hey, this is how it actually is.
Absolutely.
But again, if I'm the Cowboys publicly, we went to plan B. After plan A was gone, we went to plan B and we're moving forward. And if the Raiders really want to have a conversation about that, go ahead and give us a call. But maybe texting them and being like, what's up?
Yes.
How you doing?
And look, yeah. I would love
that other team didn't treat you well. You know who's going to treat you right.
I would love if all of a sudden today we get a shocking bit of news at 1 o'clock that the Cowboys were in on it all along, and they did pick up Max Crosby. That would be great, and I would love their scenario of being like, yeah, no, we're probably out on this.
Or what if they're trying to swing Rashawn Gary to the Raiders, and they're like, hey, we got Rashawn Gary.
That would be confusing given their signing of Trey Hendrickson, but there was a couple
of Raiders over to the Raiders. You'd tell the Raiders, hey, we got Rashawn Gary, guys.
Okay, I got you.
Don't forget, we got this. If you want him, let's include him in this deal.
Yeah, I mean, sure. He's got no guaranteed money. You don't take any dead cap hit on that. It would be confusing. I hate the idea that because of this one player, the Cowboys actually giving an F in this free agent period could be undercut by like, yeah, but when it's the player that people really wanted, you didn't even try.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that is the case whatsoever. I can't wait to see what comes out of it. And in the meantime, I already feel like we won. We re-signed Jonathan Mingo for $1.145 million.
Because he's going to have his breakout game.
Yeah, four catches, 29 yards.
Somebody,
it's coming.
A couple people did message me on Twitter, and they were like, hold on. You mean breakout catch? Like, we got to have a breakout catch first, guys.
That's a
good
point.
We can have the breakout
game. Have you seen some of those blocks?
No.
That was worth a fourth-round pick.
I just want
you to think about this. We traded the same thing for Jonathan Mingo that we did for Gary.
Have you gotten more out of Jonathan Mingo than you got for Trey Lance?
I think it's a push between those two and Gary right now. Big fat nothing.
Name one time you saw Trey Lance block.
Exactly. Can't. Yeah, I don't like.
So you probably got more
fine.
Out of Mingo.
Great. I'm not giving up a fourth round pick because I think you can drop a sweet block on a 7 yard screen pass. All right, and neither would the Cowboys.
The part about undercutting, Kevin. I always have this upset feeling, like bust the budget. That does nothing for me. After all in, bust the budget's just a hat. It's a logo on a hat.
Sure.
You know, you're just like you're trying to get somebody to toe logo. But bust the budget does nothing for me. But what do you really do? Well, you did sign a really good safety that we really like. You tried after two things that you didn't get. And those would have been ideas that made people go, yeah, you did bust the budget. You got N'Kobe Dean or Quay Walker, and you got Max Crosby. But a lot of times in these instances, it feels like deal falls through, and it's like, oh, shucks. We didn't get it done. Whenever you're like, did we really want to get it done anyway? Not us, not the fans, but the front office. They're like, look, we got to show that we tried. If we don't show that we tried, we're going to get lambasted here.
Yeah.
But if we show we try, people will give us a little bit of credit. And I am giving them a little bit of credit because, again, you got a player. You still have two first-round draft picks that you can do something with, but you still have a lot of holes to fix and fill on this team. And filling them with backup guys right now is not my approach.
Agreed. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, our Super Scouts Corey and Alec break down the newest Dallas Cowboys. Plus, Bam goes ham. Next on The Fan.
The feed to Bam inside. He corrals, gets up, puts it up and in, and one. Bam! Has 76 with 77 on the horizon.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We will get to the newest Dallas Cowboys and the scouting breakdown on them in just a second. But Bam goes ham. And I know a lot of people have a lot of thoughts. Was it the Rockets coach who was like, oh, yeah, lots of free throws and the Wizards? That is how he was able to do this. And we were just having this conversation off air. I think this is a fun topic. Least likely person to put forth an incredible sports feat. Because I had a conversation with my buddy Matt last night, and he goes, what's more impressive to you, this or surprising, I guess, or when Malachi Flynn scored 50 points? And I was like, ooh, I feel like I might say Malachi Flynn on this one, but it's a tough call. And then, Alec, who was your example of mediocre to subpar sports figure that did an incredible thing?
I remember November 18th, 2012, Matt Schaub had 527 passing yards in an NFL game.
And so it's incredible to see this. And I don't want to make it sound like Bam Adebayo is not a scrub by any stretch of the imagination. But also, he shoots less than or fewer than 5 free throws per game. And last night, he had 43 free throws. He averages less than 20 points per game. And last night, he had the second highest scoring game in the history of the NBA with 83 points, surpassing Kobe. I think we could all understand Kobe. Wilt averaged 50 points in a season. I could see how he got to 100. Everybody knows about the exploits and unbelievableness of Kobe. But Bam Adebayo passed all of that?
He said he did 13% of his free throws for the season on this game.
I did not know that, but that makes sense.
Like, I was like, that's an insane number.
Look, he averaged fewer than 5 free throws per game, and he had 43 last night. And I get it. He was also there until the very end in a game that was a blowout. But if you have the opportunity to have the second most points in an NBA game ever, I totally get why you would go for that. Go ahead and give me cut number 4, because this is what moved him up to second place.
And quickly into Bam. He's got space. Head down, spins, puts it up, and Bam's going to the line again. Only Wilt Chamberlain has more points in an NBA game in association history than Bam Adebayo, who has 82.
It's unbelievable. He set the tone. Did you see how many points he had in the first quarter?
140.
That is more than he had total. No. 32. He had 32 points in the first quarter. He made 36 free throws. That's the most in NBA history. He's the first Heat player to attempt 40 field goals in a game. He joins Wilt Chamberlain as the only players with 20 field goals and 25 free throws in a game. And, of course, he passed Kobe Bryant for the second most points in NBA history. And other people are sending in incredible sports achievements from maybe not the most incredible players, and it
Troy Hambrick,
me.
189 yards against Washington.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which at the time was third most ever. That's nice. And yeah, Matt Schaub that Alec brought up. Don't forget, he threw 4 straight pick sixes.
Yes, and that restaurant did the
consecutive games.
And that restaurant did the Matt Schaub pizza special where you could pick 6 toppings or burgers. Yeah. Matt Flynn had 6 touchdowns in a game. Alec, you'll like this one. Jinder Mahal winning the WWE title from the 972. Dwight Powell leading Team Canada to a bronze medal. So I think Bam is better than all of these examples. And it amuses me to no end that some of these comparisons, but it was an incredible feat from Bam. I know some people, whether it's the free throws or the Wizards, trying to knock it, but it's still insane to score 83 points in a basket in an NBA game.
Yeah. And that would be 7 for 22 for 3 is insane also.
Yeah, the shooting percentage is not the best.
Like I love that, dude. Oh man, I like this one from the 903. Benji Molina's cycle.
Oh, man.
Who would have ever predicted him hitting a triple?
That's true.
Nobody.
That.
How many triples do you have in his career? I got to go find out.
Can't be more than 10,
we'll
right?
go find out, Kevin.
So that is, it's an incredible performance from Bam Adebayo. So congratulations to him. The second most points in NBA history.
Holy cow, he had 6.
I really thought that number was going to be higher based on...
In 13 years, he had 3 triple. Kevin, 1 year he had 2.
I like this.
He was 35 years old when he did that.
Okay, that is pretty damn impressive. From the 817, it's crazy he can score that much shooting the ball 40 times. Trae Young has never gotten that many points.
Okay.
That's a good point. Okay. Man, that is a very good point.
Your example then is probably a Trae Young night where he like shot 40% or something. You're like, that is... How can you overlook that one?
That you might be onto something with that. All right, go ahead and give me cut number 6, if you will, please, because it's time to scout a couple of the newest Dallas Cowboys.
2nd and 14. Deep ball down the field, and he is intercepted by Locke. Locke jumps right in front of the receiver and takes it right back for the Denver Broncos.
I don't know if you want to start with PJ Locke or go in another direction, but you guys have done such a fascinating and really in-depth job with the draft picks, with the free agency options. Now that there's a couple of new players here, even though they also picked up Sam Howell, re-signed Jonathan Mingo, I wanted to get y'all's breakdown on these two fellas.
One of the keys this offseason was shoring up your safety spot. I don't know if you've looked at the fan text, Kevin, but there is a number that ends in 6-5 that's requested safeties.
I know that person.
I believe last year, and yes. I appreciate that because
we're
they're
working
right.
on it.
Yeah, and so safety was a key position that you needed to lock up, if you will, and Jalen Thompson was a great addition to that. Now, what I love about this is Jalen Thompson is one of, at this moment, kind of 3 guys that you can see circulating in this spot. I think they might even consider Hooker in that star spot as well. Whether or not, because sometimes he got burnt last year. And that was being out of position and things like that. When it comes to PJ Locke, you don't have as advanced of a player, I think, as Jalen Thompson, but that's expected for a different deal that you're getting here.
Because there's 1 for 5.
Yeah,
there.
This is a 1-year deal that you're like, hey, you have worked with Christian Parker. He knows you. He watched you grind all the way up from being a dude that was undrafted, got cut by the Steelers, and then worked on your way to being a starting safety in the league. But more important is he is a guy that's going to be on your special teams for you, and he's going to be in that backup role. However, he can play down in the box. He can play both sides of the field. He can play in coverage, and he's pretty much solid at everything. So this is another fits multiple things, and whenever you're a backup, you have to be able to fit multiple things, wear multiple hats. And in this defense, that's what they're going to ask out of the safety that can play that position too. If Hooker was to get hurt, he can play there.
Okay.
If Jalen Thompson was to get hurt, he can play there. He's also the dude that got the interception against Josh Allen, if everybody wants to get all excited about that. But honestly, he is a backup role player guy, but he did step up vocally in that locker room and became a starter, did have spinal fusion surgery. But on top of that, I've heard he's very good in interviews. So, Kevin, we can look out for that whenever we go out to Oxnard and get to know him just a little bit. I don't see him as a big splash of a sign,
sure,
especially on a 1-year deal like this, but it is another good addition to your team. And looking at everything that Denver's looking at, they're like, hey, that is a good player. They're not saying that's a star, but they're saying that is a good player that we lost.
Alec, a couple of things. So Daniel Jones signs his 2-year, $88 million deal with the Colts. He can get up to $100 million with incentives. So theoretically, could get up to his $50 million per year average that we had heard he was shooting for. Now, I want to get your breakdown on Locke as well and then ask this question to go with. I know Corey was talking about how they can go in multiple spots, and you got to appreciate that. Ideally, would you slide Locke down closer and then Jalen Thompson would be more of your prototypical free safety?
Yes, I'll start there in saying that Locke definitely doesn't have the lateral ability that Thompson does. So you're going to ask him primarily to play close to the line of scrimmage. A lot of stuff that I wish they would have done with Donovan Wilson more last year. I think you're going to see out of him. I do think you might actually see him play a little bit more than you anticipate, just because they are going to throw so many different looks defensively, at least I expect, with Christian Parker's scheme. So I think you might see him on the field a little bit more than you anticipate.
What percentage would be like a little bit more? Because I got him at 20% of snaps max.
I think you could see like 35-40%.
Okay, all right.
Because if he plays at the level that he did last year, because he did come in a backup spot last year because of injuries to the Denver secondary, and he was solid. He was really, really solid. So if he continues that level of play, I think they might slot him in a little bit more, especially against good running teams where they want him to play closer to the line. Maybe you'll see him play a little bit more than you anticipate, but I think you typically are going to want him to play closer in cover two situations. Sure, he can cover one side of the field. He can even cover a third of the field if you want. And even that highlight that we came back with, that was the interception of Josh Allen. They had him playing as the single high safety on that play.
Yeah.
So he can play different looks. Do you want him to do that all the time? Obviously not. But he has the ability, because I think he's smart enough. And that's been the theme of the offseason for me for Christian Parker, is guys that just understand where they need to be and why they need to be there. You know, it's like anytime I get taught something, I want to know, okay, this is what I'm doing, but why am I doing it? He's that kind of guy.
You know, and just as an aside, you mentioned Josh Allen. I know the betting favorites are Patriots, Bears, Browns, but whenever I saw the Bills moving and flipping a switch on Josh Allen and the Lions doing the same on Jared Goff, obviously immediately I was like, ooh, why the sudden need for $36 to $40 million? But that's just an aside with all of that.
Somebody texted in and said, does this keep you from drafting Downs if he's there? No.
I don't think so, yeah.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely not. You still need help in your secondary on a variety of fronts. And if Downs is there, you take that player.
So for Otito Ogbonnia,
as long as the medical that you have comes back.
Yes, and that's the biggest thing. Otito Ogbonnia, this is another shorter-term, low-money deal. What is our scouting report on this fella? And do you think we should just bring in UCLA defensive linemen
from
now on?
Yeah, that's all we've been doing.
Up to four.
Since we missed on Miles Jack, who could play everywhere, we were just like, I guess we'll just keep going after guys from there. He was like the backup three tech for the Chargers, kind of. He's their backup guy. Injuries did kind of hurt his development over time. Big, powerful body. Doesn't get pushed backwards very easily. Stands straight up. Sometimes plays a little too high, which can do what I am a little concerned for.
Ooh, what does that mean?
I see him on the ground a lot.
Okay.
And I feel like when Broadus, like, always, he's on the ground a lot. You know, you don't want your defensive lineman dropping to the knee, dropping to the ground. He's not super fluid athletically, but for a backup defensive tackle, he looks like he anchors pretty well. And, like, he doesn't move a ton, but sometimes he'll drop to one knee because he lost his footing or what like that. The most important thing is that he doesn't get moved too much. So what happens is that doesn't... If you're going to make a running play, a zone running play to the outside, or if you're going to have a zone running play set up, they like to move the defensive line, which helps move the holes into where the running back is supposed to go. It creates distraction in the cutback lane. Well, he's just not going to pursue that same way. He'll stand in his spot and hold up, and so that will cut off running lanes. He'll be a good defensive tackle, like running game for you. I just don't expect a lot of pressure up the middle from him, but he's a big, powerful dude.
Mr. Medford?
I second everything Major said. He's powerful. He's going to stop the run. And that is pretty much it. Outside of that, which, hey, he's not going to play very much in my mind, so I'm not asking him to do too much. So if you can just execute the one thing I'm asking you to do, which I think he does well, which is stopping the run, I will say one of his better traits, I like to think of him as a cleanup hitter. because there will be times where an outside zone run play happens and like linebackers are struggling to get a tough back down. He's not afraid to put a little pep in his step and just go jump on the pile and make sure he says, hey, I'm like three of you, so I'm just going to jump on top of you and you're going to go down to the ground because I'm bigger than you.
There was a moment where he did that a couple different plays I saw and I was like, oh, watch out for that linebacker's knee.
I
was like, don't just die for no reason. But I did see that where he's just like, I'll stick you. I have a lot, and I think Alex probably in the same place. Now I have a lot of interest in what they're doing because we just signed another defensive tackle. You have Kenny Clark. You have Quinnen Williams. I know you can move Quinnen Williams in a couple of different areas in this defense, but what is this room looking like? What is the room looking like for Osa? That's going to continue to be a question now. And are they looking to change more personnel across that front line because they need bigger size at certain positions to be able to do what this defense needs? That's one of the I'm very interested in what they're doing across that defensive front now, because I was thinking they were shoring it up by adding other outside pieces, and they keep adding into the middle. So I have a lot of questions.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Appreciate that breakdown, gentlemen, especially for players that you're paying a total of $8 million.
Let's go.
Not so bad. All right. Coming up next, we're going to fire up some baseball nuggets where we saw an Italian dressing down. Next, right here on The Fan.
Kyle Teal sends a high fly ball to deep left field. Anthony's back, turning and watching this one go. Kyle Teal to the White Sox starts the scoring with a home run.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We've got some NFL notes. The Cowboys pick up some special teams help with Tyrus Wheat coming back on around to the Dallas Cowboys. He's expected to sign when the league year becomes official starting at 3 o'clock today.
There's your Max Crosby deal right there, dude.
Is it?
It's done.
Oh.
Why even like worry about anything else when you got Tyrus Wheat?
Well, again, I think he's mostly going to be a special teamer, but hopefully he can move his way into the rotation. And then the Cowboys, they already created some more salary cap space yesterday with the setup of Kenny Clark's contract, which we said was going to be the case all along because he had no guaranteed money. Todd Archer said they can create even more cap space by turning part of his $8.8 million base salary. I was saying million and base. His $1 million base salary, it's too much otherwise.
Baseball contracts got some worrying to do here.
into a signing bonus, so they can create even more space if they want. And then also, the report is that Trey Hendrickson was going to sign with the Colts before the Ravens went ahead and pivoted. And it's interesting when you think about the specifics of that Daniel Jones news, where it looks like he is going to get $50 million per Rappaport in the first year. Is there like, all right, let's adjust on Daniel Jones or maybe do the multi-year or go 50 that first year because we're not going to get Trey Hendrickson because he's going to go to the Ravens because the Ravens backed out of the deal for Max Crosby, who now goes back to the Raiders. But that's not going to change any of their free agent contracts that they already signed because they're actually going to stick by their word and not be a bunch of cowards.
Baltimore steals another thing from Indianapolis is what you're telling me here.
Oh,
and
true.
Then they are forced to give Daniel Jones Wesley Matthews money because they're like, we're going to offer you this. Now we have extra money from the DeAndre Jordan deal. Screw it. Let's just throw more cash at you and be like, let's move on.
You know
on.
What? And or maybe it's the thing that we've talked about before. If you are like, well, we're stuck, go ahead and accelerate the money. I would have always felt better about the Wesley Matthews deal if they were like, we're accelerating all of your money into this year, and then you get jackass when we think we're going to be good again. And he was like, that's fine. I get my money sooner. What do I care?
Yeah, play the one season.
Now, brought to you, it's a lot happening, by Reliant Air Conditioning. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Do you like the tease of an Italian dressing down?
Dude, I love, you put Italian dressing on a pasta salad. Oh my gosh, you have crushed lunch.
Is that just pasta with lettuce?
No.
Oh God.
What did you just do?
What's a pasta salad? Is it just a pasta?
Aiden's furious.
With lettuce?
He just punched the window out there. He's
what
so
is
mad
a pasta
at you.
Salad then?
It's pasta.
That's what I just said.
With some olives. Chopped up, some purple onion chopped up, some red bell pepper chopped up, doused in some Italian dressing.
So it's a salad with no lettuce?
There's no lettuce.
Okay.
You said salad with lettuce.
That's what I was asking. But it's also good that you've acknowledged that a salad does not have to include lettuce.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like fruit salad.
Yeah.
Fruit salad does not have lettuce.
Exactly. So if you went to a salad bar and had just croutons, eggs, cheese, and olives.
That's a sandwich.
No, that's a salad.
That is a sandwich.
Why are you allowed to just throw a bunch of pasta in a bowl, put an onion on there, and go, it's a salad? But I'm not allowed to get all of my ingredients from the salad bar and call it a salad. Why?
Because yours is a deconstructed sandwich.
Okay, you're eating spaghetti, and you threw some onions in there, and now it's a salad.
A salad
Great.
Definition.
Everything's a salad.
Salad definition, Kevin. I'm glad you asked. A cold dish of various mixtures of raw or cooked vegetables, usually seasoned with oil, vinegar, etc. It's a cold dish. It's cold pasta. It's not warm pasta.
An olive is often considered a vegetable in culinary context.
There's no other vegetables. You said egg and cheese and bread and olive.
You said vegetable.
It says mix.
I have a vegetable.
Mix of vegetables.
Yeah, I have lots of different olives in there.
877-881-1053.
Don't try to tell me how to salad.
How do you salad? Back to you.
How many texts are
you know what? This
say,
is why. This is why okay. that dude. This is why that dude posted that on Facebook.
I get it. I'm going to like it too. And I will also sign his petition. He said he's going to get a petition to get us booted off. I will sign that petition. All right.
I will too.
Now, baseball nugget. Only 998 to go.
I love petitions.
For baseball nuggets, there's a lot happening last night. The United States loses to Italy 8-6. And
they did their best.
Did they? Because there are conspiracy theories, as long as we're talking about that today, that Major League Baseball tried to encourage the United States to lose this game. I do not believe that.
On a technicality.
That. And also, it really sounds like Mark DeRosa thought they were already in the quarterfinals, regardless of what happened in this game. So when they fell behind 5-0 and then 8-0, and then I think somebody was like, yo, dude, this is not good. And then all of a sudden we scored 6 unanswered runs, but still couldn't get it done. Bottom of the 8th inning. Bryce, I'm not elite anymore. Harper.
I guess not, dude.
He failed to get things going for the United States. But
he was
here,
a two-time MVP, though, so he was at one point.
Yes, and also, I believe, 2 of the 3 times he ever finished in the top 12. So good for him. Now, the United States is going to need some help to make it to the quarterfinals, which makes it all the more interesting. They're still the second favorite to win the World Baseball Classic, even though they no longer control their own destiny. Here's what you need. Italy against Mexico today. Italy wins, yay. United States advances. Mexico wins, you need them to score 5 or more runs. If Mexico wins and scores 4 or fewer runs, you're out.
All right.
So you need Italy to win or Mexico win and score 5 or more runs.
This actually is probably brilliant on the World Baseball Classics part.
Because now people are going to watch this one.
Who cared about Italy-Mexico until today? All of America cares about Italy-Mexico now.
I do.
Well, kind of. I mean, I'm fascinated to know what the ratings are on the World Baseball Classic right now, but we care more, and we're discussing Italy-Mexico and the importance of it because Mark DeRosa was like, we're already punched our ticket. We're already in, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, whoops. Hey, so yes, we care about it today. 4 or fewer.
You're out.
I don't think that there's any way that you're getting 4 or fewer and an Italy loss. I think Italy's going to score 5 runs.
Okay.
And Mexico is going to have to score more than 5 in order to win.
Okay.
So Kevin, I think the U.S. is done with the World Baseball Classic on a technicality that sends all their players back to their respective teams.
I think it would just be a tiebreaker, right? Not a technicality, but I hope you were wrong. I want to keep playing in the World Baseball Classic or keep watching.
Would we refer to DeRosa in this moment as the biggest boneheaded decision in the history of sports?
I probably won't say that.
Second?
I might not even be the biggest boneheaded decision of the day, but
oh, because Zach.
No, not Zach.
Still upset about that.
But
I get it.
That's not what I meant. But it is curious, and I wonder when he knew that. He said he misspoke, which I feel like that's what Tom Brady said when he wrote.
Ron Rivera, though, that one time he got up there and was like, we still got the chance of the playoffs. And they're like, no, we don't, sir.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm sorry, what? We don't? We're already eliminated? Hold on, what?
Yes.
You need to know that stuff.
By the way, that's a good question. How do I like olives when I hate all other foods? Maybe my palate is just a contrarian because I know people hate olives and I actually really like black olives.
Kevin, the World Baseball Classic, according to Aiden and Fox, 2.9 million viewers for U.S. and Britain, 2.6 million viewers for U.S. and Brazil. That's what we found so far.
Ooh, okay. You got to think yesterday's was higher then, right? I know we don't have those numbers yet.
Yeah.
But, all right. By the way, I don't know if you care about such things, but did you pay any attention to the Angels and Padres spring training game yesterday?
I wasn't locked in on this one, okay. I'll be honest.
The starting pitchers were Mitch Ferris and Walker Buehler. Means
Ferris
the matchup
Buehler.
Was Ferris Buehler.
Pretty genius. Alex probably never seen that.
You know what?
So young.
Neither had Kirk Suzuki, the manager, who's 42. He said he had seen bits and pieces of it.
The Charlie
but
Sheen scene.
He had never seen the entire movie either. But yesterday, yes, you got the Ferris Buehler spring training.
You know
game.
What, Kevin? When you said, I'm not sure, you know, your level of interest in this, I was like, yeah. The Padres and Angels could care less.
Yeah.
Your interest couldn't. Was in that.
Yes.
That
oh,
was
for
your
sure.
interest.
And I always try to set it up because I don't want anyone to be like, oh, he's got this sports job. He didn't watch. I like to set it up like, okay, you shouldn't have been watching that. Because if you were watching that, I'd be like, spend time with your kids, for God's sakes. Don't be watching this weird nonsense spring training game, all right? That's the only relevant thing you needed to know from that. By the way, one more thing for the World Baseball Classic. Canada, after defeating Puerto Rico, now controls their fate. They play Cuba today at 2 o'clock. Canada wins. They advance to the quarterfinals of the World Baseball Classic. Can you imagine if we were in a world where Canada made it to the quarterfinals and we didn't after we won both gold medals in hockey and they didn't? What the hell is going on?
You know, I would believe we were in the upside down at that point.
Oh, all right.
Or that there's a wrestler out there that throws pizza at people.
Yes, that video is awesome. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Your taste may vary. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Stars and Mavs Super Segment right here on The Fan.